This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour being brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They do a great job of making sure you're fully insured. And in this era, you need to have people committed to saving you money, and that is Purdy Insurance, because customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Matt Catrillo was on the show today. Let's see. What do we have yet?
Yeah. He is?
Oh, he's on. You have to tell me what day you're again.
It's tomorrow. He's back to his normal time.
He's back to his normal time tomorrow. Wow. maybe between now and he's on, Aaron Judge will get a hit.
Possibly. Right,
what?
Possibly.
What? Judge is doing exactly what I thought he would do.
I was just going to say we're at the point in the World Series where they're doing stories asking the other Yankees to tell them how bad they feel for him.
I mean, look, this is every year since 2020. In this decade, in the postseason, he's an under 200 hitter. Cumulative. It's not just that. This is like, no, oh, I can't believe he's doing this. What? Have you watched the games the last few years?
I think somebody said it since he walked past the Red Sox clubhouse with the boombox.
Oh. Okay. All right. Don't look at me. I have no idea. I didn't even know that happened until you just told me.
Oh, yeah. It was, I think it was 2019 or 2020, something like that. It was a while ago.
Okay. All right. Eh.
It's right up there with the Cowboys are awful because of the tours.
Okay. Right, yeah. All right. James Franklin talked with the media today, and he said with Drew and Danai Dennis Sutton, for example, because they've been around the block, their timeline about usage on Saturday, starting or whatever it may be, will go right up to game time. Again, it's not like it's a young player that got hurt and like you really need to see all the practice reps to know exactly where they are. Like Donko, he said, for example, is in a different category because he is a first-year starter at his position. Now, that's about the answer I expected to hear from him today about that. That's fine. All right. I know that there will be people that will worry and obsess over it all week, and that's fine, too, because you care and you're passionate about it. But, you know. Let's see. Now, who do we have today?
Coach John Griffin is calling in at 1:30.
1:30 again.
And then Rich Carcella at 2:05.
2:05. All right. And then tomorrow we'll have Neil and we'll have Matt. Paul Keels is joining us on Wednesday.
That is correct.
And just as an aside so people know, the talk show on Thursday night from the field, James Franklin will be the second guest, as he is the first guest on Thursday night at the field from 6:05 to 6:30 will be Jack Ham. Okay. So there's no need for us to book Jack this week. He's already doing the other show. We carry the other show. So that's like how many times we have to have him on. That's okay. So Jack will be, I talked to Jack today about it. The athletic department really wanted to get him on. I said, okay, I'll call him. I called him up. I go, we're doing this. He says, okay. I said, all right, good. It was a little more comical conversation than that. I'm not going to get into it. But, I'm not going to get into the comical part of the conversation, but that's like, it's inside baseball on that one for the two of us. So those are some of the guests during the course of the week. We're looking forward to it very much on the show. Saturday night, I'll start with this on Saturday night. I expected a tough, hard-fought football game at Camp Randall against a team that had won three in a row, was playing with a lot of confidence. It's their homecoming game. But the point I kept making as the week went, I wanted to see how they would react as the team playing from behind. Because for 180 minutes of football, they had not been behind a single second. Thus, they were had the two C's working for them. Confidence and comfort. So they had been playing as a confident football team, but also a comfortable football team. They weren't being challenged. Rutgers didn't challenge them, right? Northwestern absolutely did not challenge them, and neither did Purdue. They were not challenged in those games. So they get up early in this game, and look, you think about how the game played out. Penn State drives down the field. Or excuse me, they get the ball first. Penn State finally forces the punt. They got a first down. They had the punt. Jalen Kimber is not only going to block the ball, it's going to end up somewhere inside the 20-yard line, and he just may pick the dang thing up and score. How about that? Okay, that's, right, I mean, he's got him. I mean, it's like, this is an easy got him. And to the punter's credit, Bertram's credit, he pulls the ball down, gets away, good for him, fine play, and then he's going to kick it again. You watch, he's going to kick it. He's not going to, that's not a fake. He's going to kick it. He goes, oh, wait a minute. There's nothing in front of me. So, to his credit, took off, made a play. Okay, so, you get credit where credit's due. He made a nice play there. And they kept it alive, so he got a field goal. Now, Penn State's driving downfield. And Julian Fleming made a terrific catch for a first down at the 40. But then there's the drop at the 10. That's going to be a touchdown. See, we're talking about, like, people, you've got to start fast. Well, you stop a team, you've got them, quote, dead to rights on a punt. And then Fluky, he makes a good play, steps away, which is what he's not used to doing. And because he's left-footed, he's going that direction anyway. And then he's going to kick, and then, oh, wait, I'll run. Okay, so they bought themselves a few extra downs. When you had the play exactly the way you wanted it, same thing on the pass play, exactly what you want. It's going to be a touchdown, and juggle dropped. Like, what can you do about it? Right. So everybody talks about fast starts. There's more to fast starts. It's just about, okay. It wasn't like the ball being thrown all over the place and whatever, and they're getting gashed and things like that. No, that's not how it played out. Early. And then finally, look, they got going. The field position was horrible. But you know what the oddity is on field position this year? When a team is 7-0 like Penn State is right now, you know what normally your field position number is? And because remember, I keep this stuff on my charts all the time, so I've got the numbers. Normally, if you're a 7-0 team, you've got between 200 and 400 more additional yards on field position than your opponent, cumulative. You know what Penn State is for the season right now? Minus 3 yards. Penn State in the 7 games, have, when you total up the yard lines where they've started from, equals to like 2,903. When you add up the opponent's starting drives, it adds up to 2,906. Huh? Okay. You're not 7-0 usually when that happens. Okay? But they are. When you've got that far to drive all the time, that's an issue. Yet, to their credit, they've been able to overcome it. You look at the drives they had in this game, all three scoring drives were long drives. Here's the other part. The value of what Penn State has done on first snap. You're going to love this one. Todd, again, because I keep the numbers. Penn State right now has 17 fewer yards on first down than the Penn State defense has given up in total yardage for the season.
That sounds like that's good.
But it does, that's kind of mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is.
Right? That's kind of mind-blowing. And again, it's only because I keep a more... Like, these aren't in the game notes, numbers I'm giving you. These numbers don't appear in the game notes because I keep my own stats. Now, when it comes time to put the chart together, of course, I'm using the official stats, what Drew's done, what Bo's done. And so, things like that. I mean, I've got all that stuff. But there's certain things that I keep that I think are important. For example, stop rate. Okay? Number of drives in the game. Of those number of drives, how many stops do you have? Okay. And to me, that's an important number to look at. In fact, you know what? I may expand that number. Not just stop rate, but also stop rate without a touchdown. I may throw that in as a wrinkle. I kind of thought of that just now. what the heck? Might as well do it. But Penn State's defense, 76% stop rate on drives, 80% for the season in the second half. These are all important things, elements in the game. Now let's get to Bo. Jalen Reed's interception for a touchdown did several things. One, the defense came up with a takeaway. Two, it happened deep in territory. Three, he ran it back for a touchdown. Okay. And four, it put Penn State in front. All in that one play. Penn State was going to get great field position out of it anyway, but to get a pick six, which is Penn State's first pick six since Dominic DeLuca a year ago, was phenomenal. It put Penn State in front. I also think now with Penn State playing from in front, right, I think it settled everybody down, especially Bo. Bo Perbula did not do anything in this game that surprised me. Zero. Now, I have the distinct advantage over all of you of seeing him practice every day like I have for the last 2.5 years. So he did nothing in this game that surprised me. It may have surprised you, which I totally understand. Completely understand. Okay? I get that. Right? Because you don't see him every day. I do. And believe me, I see mistakes too. But he didn't do anything in this game that surprised me. And Andy did a great job of not square peg round holing the situation. He goes, okay, this is what Bo does best. Let's work around it. Let's make it work. That's what you have to do. We're going to run the same offense. Well, not really. They're a little bit different. Kind of opens up the running game a little bit more.
The biggest difference is probably arm strength, right? He doesn't quite have the same arm strength Drew has, but other than that, I'd feel pretty confident. People do.
exactly right. A lot of people don't. But he also can run.
Yes.
And that changes the dynamics on the field for a defense as to how you play, and I think it makes the running backs better. Makes the running game better. And I think it really helps. But, you know, you saw it. I mean, he was 11 of 13 passing. And the touchdown pass to Dinkins is a well-conceived play. He put it right where he needed to. He made a couple of throws to Clifford that were terrific, a couple of throws to Wallace that were terrific, especially the one over the middle. Like, ooh, man. Like, those were really, really good throws. But he did not do a single thing out there that surprised me. I didn't walk out of there and go, ooh, oh, I didn't know Bo could do that. Nope. Nothing surprised me. I thought the team did a great job of rallying around him. I thought that Rucci played well in Donko's place. I thought Smith, Vilbert, and Amin Vanover did a terrific job with Danai Dennison now. Then you need your best players to make your biggest plays. Singleton caught a touchdown pass. Allen had over 80 yards rushing again. They had 86. Warren did Warren things. Aller played really well when he was in there. Bo played really well when he was in there. Jalen Reed played terrific football, including the interception. I thought Wheatley played great. And I'll tell you, quietly goes out there and does a good job every game. I said this to Jack after the game. We're sitting on the bus. I said, how often do we call Jalen Kimber's name? And nobody ever talks about Kimber. He's a fifth-year player. We never talk about Kimber. Why? Because, number one, except on the punt thing we talked about, because he was the one that broke through on the punt. Okay, it's like we did, yeah, we did mention that. I said, but think about this, okay? You know, Kimber just plays good, solid football. His approach is very, well, I don't want to use the word professional, because, you know, really, but it almost feels like he's just got this professional approach to how he goes about things. Nobody ever talks about it. Now, Harris is, you know, can be dynamic. He's got a lot of athleticism and so forth. Kimber just kind of goes about his job, does his job. And when the night's over, it's like, I don't remember talking much about Kimber, because guess what? The offensive coordinator for the opposing team and the quarterback for the opposing team, like, I don't really feel like going over there. Right? Yeah.
I was going to say, he also plays a position that you don't want to talk about him a lot.
Right, exactly. Unless they're getting picks.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's, But Bo did not do anything preview the game. How about that?
Sure. I was going to say, there's probably a lot of requests this week. I think it's a big one.
Yeah. Like I'm doing one in Columbus tomorrow, and now this one's for Sirius. That's fine. I'm not going to get overloaded on it. Because, Jack, you know what? It's funny because Jack and I have talked about this over the past couple of years. We both have been committed to not getting overloaded on stuff like that. Because, I mean, I know people want guests. We're in the position we want guests too. But we're pretty judicious with our asking. You know? You know, like, I mean, for example, Paul's going to be on the show Wednesday. But I can tell you right now, Paul's going to want me on the pregame show when I get there on Saturday, which is fine. And we'll do the interview because that's, first of all, we're best of friends. I mean, I think people kind of find, like, oh, he's with Ohio State. No, we're best of friends. Sure. 45. It means I can just get out of class earlier. It's okay. I taught you kids enough today. We're done. That's what we'll do. But as the week goes, I don't want to do anything late in the week. Because I just don't feel like doing it. It's like, right?
Yeah, I understand it.
But in other words, like I kind of get up to Wednesday, and I'm like going, I don't think so, because I've got to do two tomorrow. I got Columbus and York tomorrow, and then Sirius is on Wednesday. So maybe something else with somebody else at some point, but not Thursday or Friday. Not because, it's Thursday, Friday, I got to ready for the game. I'm pretty ready for the game. I just want to put my feet up and, you know, like, enjoy life. I can answer the same questions over and over again. It's like, okay, no offense, but I don't get anything new. Maybe every once in a while you get like, oh, wait a minute, that's different. Right? So, how's Aller?
I was just going to say, how many times are you going to be asked about Aller?
Off the air or on the air? How's Aller?
Tell us the truth, Steve, off the record.
I walked past him the other night. He was talking to his parents. And I looked and go, oh, you're alive. And he lays down, and the whole family started laughing, right? And you know, but then we talked about something with the Cleveland Browns, because the Allers are season ticket holders for the Browns. Right? And Jim Donovan, who had been their longtime play-by-play voice, had passed away. So we actually, after the game, that's actually what we talked about. See, like, people don't understand, like, well, how come you didn't ask about, like, everybody, like, we're real people, you know? We have, like, you know, it's like, it's not all about the game here, okay?
Guess what? At that point in the night, he didn't know either.
Oh, it didn't matter. I wasn't going to ask, hey, how you doing? Like, it's fine. You know, we got a whole week. We'll find out. That's why we talked about the Browns and Jim Donovan, because Drew's dad and I had talked about this at breakfast in the morning. And Jim Donovan was because Drew's dad will sit in the stands with headphones on at a Browns game. He'll sit in the stands at Penn State with headphones on listening to us do the broadcast. That's how he enjoys the game. So that's why we had talked about it, and it turned out, you know, Jim had passed us. Jim was only 68 years old. Jeez. That's young. Wow.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Means they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. It eases your buying experience. I'll tell you, I'd love to have Quick Lane. Man, go in there, take care of the oil change like that. Man, hey, great service department, routine. Inspections routine, difficult to handle at all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. How fortunate you are at Bucknell to have John Griffin as your basketball coach, and we're fortunate to have him here on the show. John, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Steve, thanks for having me back. Yeah, I'm excited to be back on the line with you. That means that basketball is around the corner. And look, you got a lot going on with State College right now buzzing, so...
Yeah,
I'm appreciative that I'm on.
It's great to have you on. Your preseason, what did you want to accomplish, and have you been able to accomplish those goals as you've gone through it?
Yeah, good question. I think with a team like ours, we were one of 8 Division I programs in the country that didn't lose an undergraduate to the transfer portal, so we have incredible continuity. So the preseason was all about picking up where we left off and getting as much in the first 3 weeks from a schematic standpoint as possible, and now we're just really fine-tuning it and trying to make sure that all of our T's are crossed and I's are dotted.
And for you, I mean, again, everyone knows that you'll get to the Patriot part of it, but how did you want to craft your non-con to make sure they got you ready to play the Patriot?
Yeah, I mean, our non-conference schedule right now, once it hit the public airways, created some great energy and excitement around our program and the community within our alumni and fan base. But internally, ultimately there's two boxes I'm trying to check. One, build a brand. Bucknell, I think, within the world of college basketball, despite the chaos of college athletics, still has a very recognizable brand in the sport of basketball. So I want to make sure that we still stay relevant nationally. And then two, I often speak about in the world of recruiting just this idea of bringing in players that have a huge chip on their shoulder, an edge, yep. And they want to compete against the best possible programs they can compete. And so a way of enticing the best players that we can bring to Lewisburg is through the non-conference schedule and giving these players opportunities to compete against what's considered the best in college basketball.
You were able to go out while I was gallivanting in Madison. You were down in Philadelphia with St. Joe's. You won the game 88-82. You finally did see it. I know you have the veterans, but you see it in practical application. What did you like?
Yeah, I liked the maturity of our group. It was a 40-minute basketball game. You know, exhibitions / scrimmages are just really great in terms of learning about our team, but also building confidence and real-time growth. And so we kind of checked all these boxes of all that. But I was really proud of their competitiveness and mostly their maturity, taking every possession for what it was. It was a great opportunity for us to participate in an exhibition game for a great cause in a great environment of college basketball. And, we learned a lot. Like, you know, St. Joe's is a tremendous team. They're athletic. They're fast. They're super skilled and super talented. And when you're going against each other every day, sure, you're working on this idea of something like transition defense. Well, when you're going against somebody that you see every day, it can lose its luster a little bit. And then you go down to St. Joe's and transition defense turns into like some monstrous dunks by the Hawks. So it definitely livens up the simple parts of the game and alerts our group in particular, one that's a little bit more mature and experienced, into like, hey, we have to get better at the really important pillars of defense and make sure we don't turn the ball over when we're on offense.
Well, but there's another part to that, too. Every time something great happens in practice, there also might be, that happened great, except on the other side where you gave it up, you did something wrong. Now everybody's doing it with the same purpose.
It's a tough balance. It's a tough balance because you have to, as a coach, and this is where you really make sure that all your assistants and you meet and you're aligned. You know, what is everyone focusing on? If everyone's focusing on something different, then we can come back together after practice and pre-practice the following day and really dig into the fine details of where we were good versus where we were poor and how do we improve, strengthen those strengths and improve our weaknesses.
What does it mean for cohesion to have Elvin Edmonds and Josh Basco together?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique. Steve, college athletics, you speak about it every day. You're on the front lines up there at Penn State. You see it, like, just front and center. To have continuity is a critical piece to hopeful, you know, for us, success. But it's a critical piece in the world of culture for this idea of competing on every possession. Well, these two in particular, the two guys that you just mentioned, they know what I'm about, and now it's what they are about, and they're going to lead us with their actions, and that's incredibly invaluable because, I don't have to spend a lot of time on making sure that our cultural pillars are being carried out.
Well, and you're talking about two guys that had over 200 assists between the two of them last year. They share the basketball. Noah Williamson inside, he broke out for you last year. What does that do to your floor balance when you have that presence to go with your guard presence?
Yeah, I mean, Noah had a great year of growth for us, where in the beginning he was still learning kind of what the game of college basketball was like on a regular basis, and then by the end he was much more comfortable with who he was as a player and how he could impact the game on both sides of the ball. And he has had a really strong, productive off season, changing his body. And to the outsider, they might not see like the actual physical changes, but he gained 12 to 15 pounds this off season, which we're hoping has a great impact on his production levels on both sides of the floor. But being able to throw the ball near the rim to a player that's capable of scoring, as well as somebody that's capable of making shots from outside the arc, it does make us difficult to defend because it keeps the floor very spread. And there were opportunities for him on Saturday down in Philly at St. Joe's, and he took full advantage of it in terms of having open looks on the perimeter. He drilled a couple big threes for us, and then we were able to throw it to him near the rim, and he was able to either draw fouls or score. So that type of versatility is really hard to find from a player of his height in general, but especially for us here at Bucknell and in the Patriot League. I think that he can, you know, he can be a really major player for us and as we get into the year.
So, John, you'll get, quote, into the year, starting with Delaware down in Newark on Monday night at 6:30. When you get to this point, you've got an exhibition game, then a regular season game. Do you now start transitioning into what you would call a game week routine for your team, getting ready for the opener, then to be followed up by a Thursday night game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have a week ahead of us here, and we have to plan it effectively. Meaning, like, yes, we want to make sure that we're ready to go for our upcoming opponents, beginning with Delaware. And if there's anything that we learned, and with a team of continuity like the one we have, they remember what it felt like in our home opener here. Delaware was fast, they were athletic, they were skilled, they drilled threes in the first 20 minutes. And they put us on our heels. So I'm not going to have to really speak about that because they all felt it. And if there's any game to prepare us for what we think Delaware will do, it was St. Joe's, who was also ridiculously fast up and down the floor, have a great guard, you know, potential NBA player in Eric Reynolds. And so we're just going to drill down on what we think is the most important part of the game, defensively and offensively, and we're going to start with today. And it's not going to be all about Delaware on a Monday. It's going to be a small piece of the pie on Monday, but we're going to alert the group like we are starting today. It's a unique time where you have a 7-day window of preparation.
For you personally, what was it like just to go back down there for you personally?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, I had my brother on my staff, so my brother and I spent our entire lives, young lives, on Hawk Hill and Hagen Arena, and it was very special. And prior to being the head coach here, I was the associate head coach at St. Joe's, so a large portion of the roster I recruited and spent every day with, and there's special people down there at St. Joe's, and it was really just cool. I'm so appreciative to Billy Lang for thinking of it because he's such a huge mentor for me, and his son is a freshman here at Bucknell playing for us. And so there was just so much crossover from a relationship standpoint. And it was a little bit of a strange feeling being on the other side. Typically, in my life, I'm a St. Joe's fan like I just mentioned, an assistant. But it was super cool. And at the end of the day, the core of it was giving back to the autism community at St. Joe's with the Kinney Center. And that I know, having worked there, how important that institution is on the campus at St. Joe's. So that was also really great.
That's really great. Just one side, and then I'll let you go. Back in the Atlantic 10 days, and I did all 9 years of Penn State's Atlantic 10 games, the play-by-play guys, For a couple of years, it was Merrill Reese, and for a couple of years, it was Tommy McCarthy. So that's a long time ago.
That's big time. Hey, Steve, you got a big week coming up. Look, I know we're 50 minutes down the road. We aren't that Power Five football, but you got game day coming to State College. Have the lines started forming? I mean, what are we talking here? Come on. Is anybody going to be even allowed in the bubble of State College? It's going to be amazing.
It's first come, first serve. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm weeding through interview requests right now. No. Yeah, I'll do that one.
Good for you. Good for you. This is awesome. I think it's amazing for the overall fan base of Penn State football, but for the community, State College. I mean, Krzyzewskiville has a lot of tents, and then there's the whiteout weekend versus Ohio State with ESPN game day later into the season. This is a great opportunity, and I know that our community is really excited for Penn State.
We appreciate it, John, very much. But just so you know, we know you're there. That's why we had you on today.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. John, we'll take whoever from State College wants to, come on down. We'll take you. Orange and blue.
There you go. All right, get over there. And first game's in Newark, though. Good luck on Monday night.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you so much. John Griffin, head basketball coach Bucknell. We will come back more in a moment. Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
It's a big week. Last I checked. Did you see this? The Penn State-Washington game? They haven't decided yet what time it's going to kick off. Okay? It's on a six-day hold. It's either going to be 3:30 or 8 o'clock. Really?
Man, I'm moving out of Pennsylvania if they schedule the whiteout game for 3:30.
3:30 is fine, because remember, this weekend we turned the clocks back an hour.
Oh, I guess it will be dark by the end, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it'll be dark by halftime.
Well.
I mean, it'll be dark by halftime. That's why it never fazed me that the game would be at 3:30 if that was a possibility. Didn't even think twice about it. But, yeah, it's like, okay. I don't know.
That's the 9th, right?
Yeah.
It's not 2 weeks away. It's a week away, right?
It's a week away. It's a six-day hold. I don't know. I don't make these decisions. I just sit there and have people tell me what time I'm supposed to show up.
Yeah. Good thing nobody wants to make plans or anything, though, right?
Oh, we wouldn't want fans to do that.
No.
And again, Penn State and Washington have zero to do with this. Nothing. They're in the same boat you are. They don't know. Right? They're not sitting there like, oh, yeah, we know what the kickoff actually is. No, they don't know.
Okay. There's a reason they don't know. They're like the rest of us. They're like, tell me. I don't know.
Oh, well. That's for next week. And we'll get around to that a little bit later. This week is this week. It takes care of itself. So, yes, game day will be here. Big Noon will be here. And we'll go from there. People ask me about elements like that. You know, I'm really one of the worst people to ask about it because I don't pay attention to it. I'm not going to go to game day. Why would I go to game day?
Oh, I figured you're already making your sign, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why would I go to Big Noon? Why would I go to Allen Grove? I mean, now, do I run into them if they happen to go to practice or whatever? Sure. But I'll say hi to them, the whole thing, chit-chat, small talk, whatever, then move on. I don't, you know. I have my own, you know, with Jack Ham, I have my own broadcast to get ready for. So it's going to be just have to take care of my own stuff. So
I think it was Ben Jones made the joke on X yesterday that if Trump comes along with College Game Day and Big Noon, that he feels bad for the state college police logistics person. As do I.
Well, if the former president does come, what it does mean is that, you know, the security in the stadium to get in may take a little longer, so just be wary of that.
Oh, man. The traffic? Huh?
The traffic's going to be the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
There's no difference. The traffic is no different. It's going to be heavy, heavy traffic for a noon game. It doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter if game day's here, Big Noon's here, or the former president's here. That doesn't matter. They're not going to be extra people in the stadium. Okay? Like, instead of having 110,000 people, there's not going to be 130,000 people. So that part doesn't change. But the process of getting in, especially if he is here, will take a little longer. So I was talking to the equipment guys last night, and they said, yeah, we're told we may have to go over earlier. I said, just go over earlier. I said, they're great. I said, I've dealt with the Secret Service before. I said, for the most part, they're great to deal with. They haven't had the best year, but for the most part, they're great to deal with. And so I said, you'll find that. They said, they're very professional. I said, and believe me, you'll get through with what you need to do. So that's what I told them last night.
I think it was George W. Bush, maybe if it was H.W., came to the Little League World Series one of the years that I covered it for the championship game. We had to be in Lomity an hour and a half before first pitch, and then we weren't allowed to leave the stadium until after he left.
Yeah.
Which was fine until you had to go to the bathroom.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good. By the way, if he happens to be here, he's going to be up on a box. You're not going to have to worry about roaming around the stadium at all.
No.
Okay? It's not like he's going to be sitting at the 50-yard line. When President Nixon went to the Arkansas-Texas game, he actually sat in the stands at the 50-yard line.
I don't think there's any way the Secret Service would ever let a president do that again.
How different things are 55 years later. I mean, there's no way in heck. I mean, when he was at the Alabama-Georgia game down in Tuscaloosa, he was up in a box. Same thing when I think he went to the national championship game when he was president. Same thing.